Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 5. Luke 21, beginning in verse 5 and reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's Word. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Then there will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you've ever looked through a telephoto lens, you realize that it enables you to see things that you couldn't see without it. If I just stand and look out from my porch, I can see way in the distance, but it looks very distant. If I use a telephoto lens, wow, brings it right up to me. I can see a lot more detail, but my perspective is compressed. By getting an up-close look at what is in the distance, if that's all I saw, I would not understand how great the distance was. Jesus was not suffering from a lack of knowledge about what was going on. His problem was not like us looking through a telephoto lens, but the disciples' problem was. Because when Jesus begins to describe what's coming, he talks about some things that are in the far distant future and some things that were going to happen within a generation. Now, let's look at some of the things that he says here and the lessons that we need to draw. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. If you look in the other Gospels, they said to him, "Look, teacher, do you see? Do you see all these huge stones?" And Jesus said, "Look, do you see? Not one of these stones will be left on top of another. It's all going to be torn down." That would be so hard to imagine. In 70 AD, it was destroyed. The place where the people thought God was. But you see, when God showed up in person, he was crucified. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And when Jesus lived a sinless life, the response of humanity was to say, "We don't want it. No. No thanks." Because the unregenerate heart is hostile toward God. Always has been. That's why we need a new heart. That's why we need to be born again. Well, Jesus is telling his disciples that all these things you see, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And that happened within the generation in 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? What will be the sign that they are about to take place?" And Jesus begins to describe not the date, but the attitude, the perspective that his followers need to have and that we need to have. In turn, "Watch out that you are not deceived, because many people will come." Jesus is already anticipating his ascension and the fact that while he is at the Father's right hand, his followers here on earth are going to be looking forward to his return. And he says there are going to be imposters who come along saying, "I'm him, I'm back, I'm the Messiah." Jesus says, "Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Many are going to come in my name," Jesus says, "claiming I am he. The time is near. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." There's going to be time, a long time. Why? 2 Peter chapter 3 says that God is not slow concerning his promise, as some would count slowness, But God is patient, giving opportunity for more people to repent. The reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is because, as he promised, he is giving opportunity for more people to repent. It is his mercy that causes him to delay.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name. And,
and so Jesus says nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Wow. Fearful events, but Jesus is saying, but don't be afraid. It's scary stuff, but don't you give in to fear. Don't be scared just because the circumstances are scary. Don't be afraid even though you feel fear. The difference between feeling fear, which you can't be responsible for, and being afraid is when you are afraid, you give in to those feelings and you base your conduct on what you're feeling instead of on what you know. Do not be afraid. Do not give in to fear. No matter what happens, if you're a child of God, you're okay. And that's what Jesus says here. Look at verses 16 through 18 when he's talking about persecution. Verse 16, you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Verse 17, all men will hate you because of me. Verse 18, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, verse 19, you will gain life. Wait. You say on the one hand, Jesus, that some of us are going to be put to death, and on the other hand, not a hair on our head will perish? Yeah, what he's saying is, even if they kill a child of God, you'll live forever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Doesn't mean our bodies don't decay. It doesn't mean that people aren't martyred for the faith or die of heart attack or cancer or car crash or whatever. If you're a child of God, death doesn't get the final word. If you're a child of God, then no matter what happens, you're okay. I've shared with you about talking with the Bible smuggler, Brother Andrew, when I was a teenager, and I said, aren't you afraid that they might arrest you? And he said, oh, they have arrested me on occasion. And I said, well, aren't you afraid you'll be locked up in jail? He said, I have been before. And he said, but I'm not afraid, because the most they can do to me is kill me, and if they do that, I go straight to heaven. And if I'm alive and in jail, I figure there are people there that God wants me to talk to about the Lord. Prison guards and other prisoners, God must want me to talk to about him. You see, if you know that God is in control, then whatever comes, you don't have to give in to fear. I've shared with you before the story of one of our graduates here at St. Andrew's School at Wears Valley Ranch, who was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. His family was just in pieces about this, and he said, don't cry. Don't be afraid. One of two things is going to happen. Either God's going to heal me and I'll have a wonderful testimony, or I'm going to go to heaven, in which case, that's the best. God in his mercy healed him. He went through treatment. But the doctors were astounded that with the treatment, no operation, radiation and chemo he did have. But with that, God spared his life. I was privileged to perform his wedding. And he's now working for a ministry in another state. And he got his degree in nursing and is a registered nurse. I'll tell you something. I don't care where you live. I don't care what age you are. You're going to go through difficult things. Life is full of difficulty. And if you have an eye for it, life is full of blessings. You can focus where you will. Jesus said, it's going to get bad. It's going to get tough. There's going to be persecution, and you will suffer because of me. Before all these things happen out in the world, the earthquakes and famines and pestilences, fearful events and great signs from heaven, before all this, Jesus says, they'll lay their hands on you and persecute you. Persecution should not surprise us. Persecution is what Jesus told us to expect. But he says, but don't be afraid. Don't worry beforehand about how you're going to defend yourselves. I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And even if they kill you, you're going to be fine. By standing firm, verse 19, you'll gain life. Then he begins to talk about what's going to happen short term. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you'll know that desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Those in the city get out. Those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. Jesus saw what was coming, and he told his disciples, this is going to happen. Don't be afraid. Some of them, before that happened, would have been martyred for their faith. They were killed because of their obedience to Jesus. But then Jesus also describes the fact that Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Folks, for centuries, millennia, Jerusalem has been trampled on by the Gentiles until something absolutely astounding that people didn't think could happen. The rebirth of Jerusalem, the rebirth of Israel, 1948, God brought his people back to their promised land. And it is amazing what God has done and is doing over there, but it's still not the full fulfillment. It describes the fact that there will be all kinds of worldwide phenomenon that will cause people to wonder what's happening. And when Jesus comes again, verse 27, that time they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption's drawing near. So how do we know? Well, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know the kingdom of God is near. And I tell you the truth, this generation, and I believe that's the final generation. I'm not saying we are the final generation. I'm saying there will be a generation in which all these things come together. And in that generation, all these things will happen. And heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will never pass away. If that's the case, if what Jesus is saying here is what we should expect, what should we do? He says, be careful. Or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. What if Jesus came today? You say, well, I'm not worried because all those things you're talking about haven't happened yet. So I think I'm good. Okay, well, let's phrase it another way. What if you died today and you had to stand before God? Are you ready? I told you before that when I was growing up, we had a sign over the door where we went out of the house. The sign just said one thing. What if it were today? We need to live our lives in light of the fact that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. If you've never repented of your sin and asked God to save you, you need to do it now. Well, I don't know that I want to do that. Well, yeah, I pray that God will bring you to the point of repentance. Because the fact of the matter is, there is no other way to be saved. The only one who can save us is Jesus. And I implore you, while you have the opportunity, while you still have breath, while you can pray, pray. Ask God to be merciful to you. Ask Him to forgive you. God is willing to forgive those who repent. He sent His Son not to condemn the world, but so that through Him the world might be saved. And yet we know that not everybody's going to be saved. Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else in the Bible. Hell is real, and hell is awful, and you don't want to go there. But if you're not careful, Jesus says that last event is going to come on you like a trap. It's going to be too late. You don't want to end up like that. So, what do? Verse 36, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. As you make decisions, you need to be thinking about eternity, about the fact that Jesus is coming again. How are you going to live in light of the fact that this life goes by quickly and what you do for eternity is going to matter for eternity? Are you investing here, laying up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal? Or are you investing in the kingdom? Well, how do I do that? Well, it's about investing in others. And the most important way, I mean, it's wonderful to help hungry people get fed food. There's a huge problem in many parts of the world regarding water, safe water. You can invest in wells or water filtration systems. I've done some of that. It's a good thing. I recommend it. But I'll tell you this. If people have full bellies and pure water and they don't know Jesus, they're still going to go to hell when they die. So should we just give the food and the water to Christians? Well, I would suggest you ought to start there because that's our family and we're responsible for them. But God is gracious enough, generous enough, that He causes His Son to shine on the wicked and the just. And you and I have been blessed with such abundance that we ought to be able to give also to those who don't yet know the Lord, so that when they want to know why, we can tell them. It's because God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Son to save people like you and me. So, Jesus says that we should be watching and praying, and we ought to be living in light of the fact that He's coming again, in light of the fact that all of us are going to stand before Him. And because of that, we should not fear. Instead, we should be rejoicing. We should be giving generously because we don't fear the future. We know that we can depend on God. I hope that that's the way you'll live this day.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.